Okay. It's down as a sermon that I have to explain, I guess. I have some reflections on extending the table, past and present. It was 1975. JR and I and our family had just returned from a sabbatical year in Central America. We had tracked the development of assembly while we were gone, and indeed, in the year before we left, a lot was already happening. When we returned, the excitement was palpable, if not a bit frenzied sometimes. There were three groups meeting and then gathering together for sabbatical celebrations. A covenant was being worked on. Our friends from Waterford Mennonite Church and members of our small group from College Mennonite Church were well into forming a new entity. In spite of deep appreciation for College Mennonite Church, J.R. had already signed on to this assembly idea in 1974. Although I didn't covenant until sometime later, we were both eager, along with our teenagers, to join our friends and fellow church people in this worship. These were people coming from intentional households, from small groups, other churches, searching students, people who were ready for greater participation in the life of the church, and perhaps, as some have said, the priesthood of all believers. But where did we gather? We learned that all it takes is space, or spaces. The space can be a dance studio, or a GC student lounge, a doctor's office, or someone's living room, a park pavilion, or the stage at the Union Building. No open space was safe from us. And we didn't mind sitting on the floor in those years. The day that I finally covenanted with assembly was a cold gray day here at the Jean Lee factory, right over there probably with the orange Formica top table. I was cold and my feet were cold. Since we were already housing the Walnut Hill Kindergarten, Lenora Kennel, I think was the teacher then, had hung the children's artistic creations on threads from the ceiling. So amidst the dangling artwork, my thoughts went back to my childhood. Our family attended a small mission church, which on occasionally very cold Sundays gathered around a pot-bellied wood-burning stove in the middle of our small building. Now, I wore rubber boots or galoshes back in those days, as maybe some of the others did here. And we entertained ourselves, my brother and my sister and I, to see how long you could hold your boot against the stove before the rubber began to melt and you could see and or smell it. So I was thinking about that the morning I covenanted and wondered if I was always going to end up with cold feet. I felt in my bones that I was going to probably be here for a long time. But that was before Dana Miller and others began to work their magic. With art around and little toothbrushes lined up at the water fountain, we were all well aware that our building served others all week long. The addition to our building in 1992 was an exciting milestone. I have always loved the high ceilings here and open beams, a simple but functional design. We were truly beginning to extend the table at that point. We now had suitable classrooms from the Walnut Hill Daycare, which could be used for Sunday school. We also now had a gathering place for the local neighborhood association meetings in bad weather. I felt back then that we were becoming much more hospitable. Throughout all these years, my soul has been nurtured by beauty in many forms here. The table, as we talked about here, Wilma's stained glass windows, banners, and amazing arrangements of fabric, symbols, and worship visuals of all sorts. They just keep getting better and better. And now, let's forward to 27 years later. I shared with Laura's Sunday school class last Sunday, some assembly required, that the first Sunday that I walked in, that you had laid the flooring there outside the kitchen and the gathering space, when I looked at that, I just felt good about it. Could that floor really look like that? I thought, but it did. It was beautiful. It is beautiful. In spite of, or perhaps because of, the soul-searching and the search for simplicity and frugality the assembly has done, I felt no guilt at all. Beauty helps us to worship, to nurture ourselves, and will help us to extend our table. Our worship table has been a symbol for who we are, sturdy, simple, and beautiful, as they just talked about. This should help us bridge a gap to a new space and offer hospitality to all. Thank you.
For those of you aware of the time, this is also not a sermon. This is a Sunday of storytelling. As we think about moving into the new space, these have all been stories that help us prepare to move over there and think about who we have been and who we are becoming. This is also sort of an impromptu service that we put together because we did think we would be planting trees this morning. As Lydia said, we are not, and so we're moving Aaron's sermon, he was flexible, to next week. So we pieced some things together. Thank you for the flexibility of the small group. So mine is also a story and reflections on this space and other spaces we've been in. I will say we've been on a bit of a roller coaster ride here, trying to predict when we will be in the new space and how to ritualize those important moves, how to make plans when all the information keeps changing. Can we plant the trees this Sunday? No, there's no soil. Next Sunday? Yes, we have to because the trees are coming. Can we move in on the 12th? No, probably not. Can we move in by June 9th? Probably, hopefully, maybe. Let me be clear, I am not blaming anyone. I get that this is how construction projects work. And I am so grateful that we've been able to keep meeting in this space while we've been doing the renovation over there. I'm grateful for the building crew and all the work that they have done. Dana and Linda and Dave and Ugo and Susan and Laura and Anne and John and Sybil and Alan and Elroy and so many of you who keep giving your time and your gifts. These folks are working tirelessly, and the space looks beautiful and inviting. And I want in. I want in there. I want to worship in that space. I want to stand up on that beautiful stage. I mean, raised platform. I want to use those all-gender bathrooms and make conversation in the little alcoves and sit on those lovely benches on the sides. And we are not there yet. And I am not great at the in-between times. Hold it lightly is a phrase people say to me sometimes. And I am not great at holding things lightly. Because I like to make a plan. I like to have a clear picture in my head of how things are going to be. I like to map it out in advance. And I struggle when the ground keeps shifting. The John text this morning tells the story of the disciples following Jesus' death. For the disciples, too, the information keeps changing. After the wild ride of Holy Week, the disciples are disoriented. First, Jesus is dead, then he's not. He keeps appearing and disappearing, popping in at mealtimes, speaking in riddles. Is he back or not? Is he leaving again? How to make plans without all the information? So the disciples go fishing. They do the one thing they know how to do. Or at least they used to, because this time they are totally unsuccessful all night long until Jesus tells them, try the other side. We know this story. Simon Peter is naked, then he puts on clothes and jumps in overboard. Jesus makes a charcoal fire on the beach. They eat breakfast, fish together, and Jesus tells them, if you love me, feed my lambs and tend my sheep. More riddles. What lambs? What sheep? How can anyone feed and tend and do anything without a plan, is my question. How do you extend the table when there is no table? Apparently, you make a fire on the beach. You offer what you have. You respond to the people that are in front of you with the space and the resources that are available to you. We've been doing that for a while here at Assembly. Not just in this recent history of construction and renovation, but from the early days. As Sue shared, Assembly has met in all sorts of places. It wasn't uncommon for people to sit on the ground, Sue told us. And that is still the space, the issue that we have. People are on the floor. During the renovation in 1993, we met in all kinds of places. newcomer 19 and add 28 at Goshen College and the senior center at Greencroft. We created spaces of welcome and meaningful worship wherever we went. I don't know how the worship committee planned worship in those days. Did they know what space they'd be meeting in as they planned the next sermon series? Could they picture where they were going and how they would do it? I don't know. One of my clearest memories from worship in my childhood happened in Ad 28. My best friend, Sarah Bowman, and her parents, John and Joanne Bowman, were moving to Boston. Sarah had been my best friend as long as I could remember. And the summer before I started third grade, John got into MIT, and I was devastated. Their last Sunday, we were meeting in Ad 28 at Goshen College, and John and Joanne danced the servant song. I cried and cried. It was years before I could hear, "Will you let me be your servant?" and not cry. And it happened in a lecture hall, on hard stadium seats. It happened while we were waiting for our real worship space to be ready. It happened because John and Joanne shared their gifts in a space that was less than ideal. And it's an important reminder to me that the dances and rituals and embodied things that we do together take deep root in us as children and as adults. So as I watch and wait in this in-between space, I try to take deep breaths. And I remember the other in-between spaces that we have been in before, the literal spaces and the metaphorical spaces. And I know that Jesus shows up wherever we are gathered, surprising us and feeding us. And if we love Jesus, then we too are invited to feed and tend whoever shows up alongside us, with or without tables, with or without enough chairs or space or plans, Christ is present. May it be so.